Hey, my name is Lauren Frieder, and my husband Drew and I are lead pastors at Lift Church. We are on the eastern shore of Maryland. We want to thank you so much for joining us today, and we are believing that you will get a lift of encouragement.
What's up, Lift Church? You're probably wondering by now, where are you, and where is your beautiful and anointed wife? Well, first of all, thank you for calling my wife beautiful and anointed, because she is. But after going away and getting an invite to be with a bunch of lead pastors in Montana, fly fishing, we learned halfway through the trip last week that the crew before us was having an outbreak in COVID by the time they got home, and we knew through cross-staff pollination and stuff that we were likely to be in a risky state. And so I have quarantined from the moment I got home on Monday night. I went straight to my master bedroom, and I've been here by myself without seeing my girls or talking to my wife other than digitally since Tuesday, and I'm glad I did, because I got a positive test earlier this week, and so I'm not there to keep everyone safe, but I'm here in spirit. I want you to know I'm doing well. My family has not come in contact with me, so they haven't been exposed, but still, to keep it safe, they are not going anywhere as well either. And I guess a lot of our churches who were on that trip are going to have guest speakers today, and we are lucky to have a great one on our staff. Pastor JT is going to do a phenomenal job. I've shared my notes with him, and he's going to preach up a storm. It's going to be awesome. So give him a lot of love and honor. But hey, between writing sermons and working and resting a little bit, I've been trying to put my creativity to use as well. And I'm not trying to make light of COVID, because I know it's really serious on some people, but I also believe the joy of the Lord is our strength. So I've been drafting up some memes of myself, just to keep my mind occupied. I'd like to share that with you. Here's one of them right here. Come on, who thought you could get it from Trout? Here's another one I drafted up of myself. Yeah, who knew I'd go to a pastor's retreat and return home with the gift of COVID? Anyway, hey, me and my family are good, and we hope y'all are well as well. And on a much more serious note, I want to share something in light of Election Day in 2 days. And this is what I want to say. No matter who wins this election, whether it's your guy or not your guy, whether it's blue or whether it's red, I want you to know this, that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of men, and he gives them to whomsoever he chooses. I know a lot of people are freaking out that if my candidate doesn't win, America's going to tank. And listen, I want you to know, we don't live in a cancer culture, which means Jesus never came and canceled people out. He came to give life. Think about the adulterous woman, right? Every single pastor and priest caught her in the act and said, cancel her, call her a nobody, tell her she's done with, let us stone her. And Jesus said, I'm not stoning her. In fact, I'm going to give her life back to her. So would you keep that in mind as you post? Would you keep that in mind as you trust? No matter what the election happens, we need to make sure we're speaking life when we share our opinions online. It's okay to share your opinion, but don't share it in such a way that everybody who doesn't vote the way you do is all of a sudden not a lover of Jesus. There are people in our church who love Jesus passionately on both sides of the political party. So don't get caught up in that, and please honor the other side as you share your opinions. I'm personally not scared about the election, because I know this, I said it once already, Daniel 4:17, the Most High rules over the kingdoms of this world, and he gives them to anyone he chooses. In other words, I don't trust our president's in charge, I trust God Most High is in charge. And so even if the election doesn't go the way I hoped it would, I trust God is in control. You might say, well, Pastor Drew, everything might crumble. You don't understand. No, I do understand. Daniel wrote this. God spoke this in a time where God's people had bottomed out. Daniel was in exile when he heard this word. And yet God still showed through his actions over King Nebuchadnezzar and other kings that the Most High is ruler over the kingdoms of this world, and he is in charge of giving them to whomsoever he chooses. So trust God today and be hopeful no matter what happens on Tuesday. All right, so we're in for a great word with Pastor JT, and so would you give your attention to him? Take notes. It's going to be good. Week 4 of the Blessed Life. Let's go.
What does it mean to be blessed? Is it a relationship status? Is it a promotion at work? Is it a hashtag? Hashtag happy. Hashtag favor. Hashtag beautiful. Hashtag you can't stop me. What does it mean to be blessed? And how do you measure it?
Oh, got my mask stuck. Come on, 2020. Hey, can we give it up for the worship team? That was amazing. I'm so glad to follow that up because it makes me feel good about what happened. I believe Jesus wants to speak something to you guys today, and I'm excited to be a part of that. So I have to start off, well, before I get into my message, let's talk about this. Let's talk about what y'all have been doing. Check this out on the screen. If we could throw up that graphic. Look how much Lift Church has made by simply filling out surveys. We've gotten almost to 10 grand. Who would have thought that kingdom would come through us filling out surveys? Come on, and we are literally probably 50 surveys away from being over 10 grand. So tomorrow night is when it ends, so make sure you tell your friends and tell yourself to finish that thing strong so we can break the 10 grand. Give it up for yourselves one more time. Come on, that is such a blessing that we get to see kingdom moving through surveys. Well, hey, I want to preface this message, and really any message I speak from here on out, that it is not mine. Right, like first and foremost, I believe that God has gifted me to do this, so I'm going to trust in God that it's his content. And second of all, Pastor Drew wrote it. I'm thankful for that. Come on, somebody. I'm so thankful for Pastor Drew and his wisdom and what he says on and off the stage. The joy of the Lord really is his strength, and he doesn't just share that here on a Sunday. That's all week long, so I'm so thankful for his influence. But I had to preface with that because I don't like being the guy who tries to take credit for something that everyone knows he's never made up. Right? Like, I told the first experience, I was like, man, have you ever met those people who think they're just creative, but really it's just a movie or something? Like this guy who's like, man, I was brushing my tooth last night, and I'll tell you something. I was really thinking, and never heard this before in my life, but man, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him won't perish but will have eternal life. Bro, I've never heard anyone say that. I just made that up on the spot. Right? And you're like, okay, thank you, sir. You've discredited everything you will say here on out. But that's not who I want to be. I want to preface with the fact that this is God's, and I believe God's going to speak through the scripture today. And Pastor Drew, I'm thankful for him, and I'm going to add a little bit of my own flair onto it. So if you guys would join me for the next couple minutes as we dig in to the message today. So what I did take credit for, I'll kind of tell on myself, is when I was in college, I played collegiate soccer. And what I tell everybody is that my school, the 3 out of the 4 years I should have been there, they won all the championships for the conference. So 3 out of 4 years, we won the championship. I never tell anybody that the 1 year they didn't is the year I was there because that just doesn't sound good. But I always am like, yeah, we won 3 out of 4. But it was so funny because every time we'd play a difficult game, or any game for that matter, we'd pray. Right? We would pray before the game. We would trust that God's in control for health and skill and whatever else we might pray for. But then if we got into a difficult game, like if we were playing one of the best people in our conference, then all of a sudden we'd bring out these nasty socks that we had not washed all season long because we believed it was good luck. Right, and I don't know why. I don't know if we thought the stench would push them away or if, like, we just believed in the luck. But it's so funny to me how we were like, God, I trust you, but just in case. God, I believe you'll do big things, but let me provide just in case you don't come through. Right, and if we're not careful today, all of us included might do the same thing with our finances. God, I believe you, but my budget is pretty tight this month. I just had to get new tires. God, I believe your big things, but the tuition bill is coming in, and we got to make sure that's paid for. So instead of giving what's yours, I think I'm going to take 2% out of that and keep it for myself. Right? And if we're not careful in the house, we can all fall into this. Again, I'm not saying being good stewards with your money is bad. I'm saying the spirit on which money can have could be bad. And this isn't just us, right? This goes all the way back to the Old Testament. We look at some people who had just been freed from exile in Deuteronomy 11. And it talks about how they were shepherds and now they're farmers, right, in this story. And as they're farming, what you need is rain. Right? You need rain to produce sustainability for your tribe, for your family, for the local community. But what they did here was, God, we praise you, but just in case, we're going to offer a couple sacrifices to Baal, who was the rain god at that time. Right? So all throughout history, we see this concept where there's tension of, do we really trust God, or are we kind of trying to make it on our own? And that's what I'm going to try to speak in today. I believe, again, that there's not something about money. It's the spirit that can be on money. And the Bible talks about it, and it's called the spirit of mammon. Right? And mammon tries to hedge out God as the leader of your life. It tries to compete with God as the leader of your life. In other words, it tries to take your place in your security, in your freedom, in your significance. We've seen this, right? We think somebody's significant because they can afford 2 Disney trips with the whole family. And meanwhile, we can't afford that, so we deem ourselves as less significant. Or we can't fully pay for our tuition and we have to go into debt. So they're really good, but we're low. We're in a low place, right? It's funny how the spirit of mammon will try to deem you worthy or unworthy based on what you make or don't make. Right? And I believe that everyone can be affected by that. Whether you're poor in your status or you're rich, it doesn't matter. But the big question I have for you today is, would you trust God if you had all the money you needed? Would you trust God if you could afford the best doctor for the procedure that you knew was coming up? Would you trust God if you knew exactly where your rent was coming from each month or your mortgage payment? Would you invite him in if you already knew that everything was provided for? I'm not saying you would or wouldn't, but I am asking all of us to have an honest heart assessment with God today on whether we are or not. And I say that as hopeful, because if you don't think you would trust God, man, our God is in the business of restoration. So I believe what he has to say is most important. Jesus said it this way in Mark 10, 23 and 25. He said, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. In fact, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven." Why? Because the more we have, the more we tend to rely on mammon instead. So we pray less and we scratch more. And we work harder, but we worship less. Right? And again, this is a gray area that I need you to decide for yourself. I personally had to go through the struggle of, man, I love my job. I love the fact that I get to work for Lift Church and see Jesus move. But what I discovered as of 3 weeks ago is I'm married and I now have a priority in my life. Right? And that is my spouse. But if I'm not careful, I tend to work so hard that I'm coming home late and I neglect that time for dinner or whatever it is that we might have together. And I've had to assess myself and say, God, do I trust you enough to provide in my finances and pour into my wife relationally? Or am I just going to pour all my time into my finances so I got a scratch and claw, meanwhile letting this relationship just go farther and farther down? Right? I've had to address that in my life, and it's not fun, but I'm thankful that God showed me that so I could. And I just want us to all ask that question. Who do we serve? Who are we serving with our time, with our money, with whatever we have in control of, right? So Luke 16 put it this way. It's 9 through 13, and it's after the shrewd manager. He says this, "I love when the Bible gives you an answer to your questions." Like, let's just take a minute and thank God that he has answers to our questions. Where can I be healed from depression? God's got an answer. Where can I be restored? God's got an answer. I'm so thankful that our God has answers. And he answers a couple questions we might have in Luke 16. He says this, "Here's the lesson. Use your worldly resources." The New King James Version actually says, "Use mammon to benefit others and make friends. Then when your possessions are gone, they will welcome you into an eternal home. If you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones." We'll talk about that in just a second. "But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? And if you're not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own?" Say this next part with me. No one can serve two masters. "For you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other." Why? "Because you cannot serve God and mammon." I don't think any of us are exempt from no one today. So I believe that God breaks down a lot of the questions we may have. So for this, if you're taking notes, The Blessed Life, week 4, here is your title. In blank, you trust. In blank, you trust. And I know we could all give the church the answer if we wanted to and be like, it's God, it's in God we trust. But let's honestly have a heart assessment today and decide whether it's God or if it's mammon or money. Right? And I'm not going to ask anybody to raise their hand or do any of that, but I will tell you, God will test this in you. God will see this because he's after our hearts. He's not after our money. So that's what I want to talk about, is the heart behind your money, right? And 1864, that term was first coined on a coin. But anyways, it's on a 2-cent nickel or a 2-cent piece, and it said, in God we trust. Why? Because with a rising economic empire we had in the United States, they decided above everything, above every nickel and dime we scratch for, we want to be reminded that it's in God we trust. Right? And they knew this would be deemed unconstitutional. Like, God, Jesus knew that it would be deemed unconstitutional. So all throughout history, there's this battle between, like, we shouldn't have it on the coins. We should not, because some people are like, we can rely on money. It has bought me happiness. But others are like, no, that's not what you're looking for. It's going to run dry. In God, we trust. And I believe Jesus knew that this tension would happen. And I believe this parable or this story he told answers 4 questions that all of us might have about money. So the first question is simply this: what should my relationship with money be? And it says, Jesus said it, no one can serve 2 masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. Let me remind you, I'm not coming at the people who are saying, like, I've stored up wealth. I'm not telling you that's bad. I'm saying the spirit that can find itself on money is something you cannot serve. We cannot decide, 1 month I'll trust God, the next month I'll trust mammon. 1 month, when I have really good wealth, I'll trust God. Next month, ooh, stuff happened, I'm going to trust mammon and fight for myself, right? It's this idea where we have to draw a line and simply say, I can't serve 2 masters. It's not possible. So I would decide in the best situation of my life or the worst situation of my life to trust God. And I will put him first. And I believe that is the answer to the first question. What should my relationship with money be? The answer is this: always secondary to God. Always. You mean even when I got to put more out because I'm helping my family with a project? Yeah. You mean even when you don't think money's going to come in and you don't know what's going to be the provider? God is. Right? We're deciding through every circumstance that money is second to God. And maybe you're in that place, but you're wondering, for number 2, how do I ensure that my money is not competing with God? How do I make that a thing? Because I feel like I need to spend stuff, obviously, to live, but how do I make sure that I know God is in control? God says, Jesus says it this way in Scripture. He says, and if you are not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own? And I think the question that presents itself is, what is other people's things? Is it like my friend's car that I borrow? Is it the money that someone lent me? I don't think necessarily God's talking about that, although being a good steward of that is a good thing. I believe what God's talking about throughout this series, we've kind of seen that he sets apart 10% for himself, which is called the tithe. Right? And if we're not trustworthy with that, how can we be trustworthy with our own things if we can't be trusted with what he has set aside for himself? I believe that's what God's saying. So listen, if that didn't make as much sense, I believe this video you're about to watch is truly going to give you perspective. This is Caitlin. She's one of our dream teamers. Check out her testimony.
Hi, my name's Caitlin, and in May I was reading through Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 34, which reads, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them that there was no needy persons among them. So after reading this, I just felt kind of like a spiritual check and realized how selfish that my heart is, and how much I didn't resonate with that verse, but I wanted to. And I had a deep desire to just have a generous heart. So I started praying for a heart change. And I'd never tithed before, except for when I was a kid and my parents made me tithe my allowance. But I hadn't done it from my own will yet. So when I started attending Lift Church at the end of June, I just felt this deep desire to start tithing. And that was a big step for me, because I am financially independent and I do have to pay for rent and groceries and just like all of that stuff. So I wasn't sure about it, but I just felt this desire to do it and knew that I needed to. So I started tithing, and by October, I had received back every single dollar that I had tithed, but three times over. And that came in the form of cash, groceries, just items I needed, five free textbooks that a classmate just decided to give me, and even an iPad that I didn't have to pay a penny for, but the funding came from three different sources. And when I asked one of the sources why she was giving me this money, her response was, "I think the Lord wants to bless you. I just so happen to be the conduct." And that's crazy, because that's like $400 that someone is giving me for an iPad that's not even for them. So that was just really crazy, and I knew that it was God blessing me. I don't know where you are financially while watching this video, but I do know that God is faithful. And God doesn't need your money. He's God. But he's providing you with this opportunity so that he can bless you. And I know that it's true, and I know that he'll bless you, because he's done it so abundantly for me.
Come on, can we celebrate a good God? Can we celebrate a provider that is God? That is such an amazing testimony, and I'm sure there's plenty others in the room that can say God has provided. So what is the answer to number two? How do we ensure that our money's not competing with God? We redeem the first. We redeem the first. What does that mean? We just set aside the 10% that belongs to him. And that's how we know that money is not competing with God. So number three is this. What if I don't have enough to care? Come on, I know I resonated that for a while. I resonated with that one. But here's my thought. A lot of us might say, hey, I don't have enough to care. I'm a college student. Hey, I don't have enough to care. I have a family. Hey, I don't have enough to care. I'm a single mom. Hey, I don't have enough to do this thing that you're asking me to do. And can I say with all due respect, if that's your perspective, you'll never have enough. You'll never have enough if your perspective is, I don't have enough to care. Because something will always come up. It doesn't matter what life stage you're in. Something will always try to go for your attention and try to make you spend money here or there. So you will always have that thought process. And I say that with the utmost love and respect. Jesus put it this way. If you're faithful in little things, you'll be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. Pastor Drew put it this way. How you respond to this with little determines how God responds to you. If we can't be faithful with a little thing like that, why would we assume that he'd give us more? If we can't be faithful where we're at today online, why would we assume that he could give us more? And I love this thought. Jesus, if we look in the scriptures, does anyone ever see Jesus say, hey, you need more money for your healing? No, he doesn't look at the leper, the lame, the blind and say, hey, get a couple more bills and then maybe you can go find a doctor that can help you out, bud. There's my wisdom for you. No, he doesn't say that. In fact, actually, there's a woman in the Bible who bled for 12 years and it says she tried everything. She tried everything and God showed her, hey, listen, that stuff is not enough. The spirit of which you're following and trying to go for is not enough, because when that runs dry, I do not. Right, we're talking about an infinite God and finite finances. Things that will not last year in and year out. Can I tell you that there is infinite love in God, but not infinite love in money, right? This is the thing that I believe Spirit of Mammon tries to like pull on us, right? It's when I get that new credit card and show off all those miles I've stocked up, when I have that car, when we can take that vacation and man, it's going to look good on Facebook, then people will deem me significant. Then I will truly be loved and fit in with the people I've always wanted to. Mammon, this spirit of money, it's like it tries to convince you of things that only God can give. Right, it tries to convince you you'll find love if you have more money. You'll have peace if you get more money. Security, don't worry about it. I got you. But then when all that falls out, money doesn't seem to provide for us as much as we need it to. Right, and that's what I'm trying to tell you guys about today, that mammon tries to do that to us. And I love people's hearts. I've heard it before. I've probably even said, I love the heart behind it, but this message challenged me. It's one of those hearts that says, man, when I win the lottery, I'll tell you what, Lyft is going to have a nice building. We're going to have robot vacuums everywhere. We're going to make sure we have the nicest windows, iPads, all over the place. But when I win the lottery, that'll happen. Can I tell you, the spirit of mammon makes you wait for a moment that might not ever come. It constantly is saying, hey, when you get this, then you can help people. Hey, you don't have enough right now. You need to fend for yourself. Don't help them yet. But it's constantly making you think, when I get to this point, then I'll start helping. Can I tell you, sometimes that point comes, sometimes it doesn't. But what God is asking us to do as a church today is just be faithful with wherever we're at today. Whether that's high economic status or low, it does not matter to God. It matters about your heart. That is what he is after. So the final question as I wrap up is simply this. What do I do with money? What do I do with money? And the verse put it this way. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Then when your possessions are gone, they will welcome you into an eternal home. When your possessions are gone is a rough translation for when you pass. When your life is over, they will welcome you into an eternal home. Who's they? I want to imagine something with you. I want to just increase your faith a little bit today. Imagine right now what we're doing with the Clarion Call. We're giving simple toiletries. You can put that slide up. We're giving simple toiletries like toothbrush, toothpaste, shampoo, conditioner, razor, shaving cream. We're giving that to recovering addicts. Right, and you might not think that's much, but let's picture this together. 80 years go by, and you find yourself in heaven. Some of you are like, praise God, 80 more years? That's amazing. Imagine 80 years from now, you find yourself in heaven. You're about to walk in to your eternal home, and all of a sudden you get stopped by someone with a clean shave and bright white teeth. And they look at you and they say, you loved me at my worst. And you're like, what? What? I don't even know you. And he's like, no, you might not, but that Clarion Call, when you decided to give toothbrush and a razor, you might not think it's much, but I saw it as you saw me. You thought I was worth it. And in that moment, I decided that I was going to give up. I was in the Clarion Call, and I was going to give up. But because someone deemed me worthy, someone saw enough to love me with a simple care package, I said, you know what, I can do this. I matter to somebody. And they started matter, and they started the process, and they went through the whole process, and then they got their family back because they were able to recover. Then they found their family in church, and their family found Jesus, and now all of a sudden, when you're getting welcomed, a whole family's sitting there saying, thank you so much. You didn't think you did anything, but man, you did everything for us. Some of y'all might think that's such a small thing, but that's why I push for that stuff, because my faith goes there. I believe that God can make that stuff happen. So I want to give next week when we're dropping that off to the Clarion Call. I want to bring in those supplies. I want to help them because I believe God can do immeasurably more than I can ever dare ask, dream, or imagine. So I'm going to put them up for that. If that's what he says, I'm going to do that. Right, so what that is something that I believe we should do with our money. Pastor Drew's going to tell us a little bit about legacy coming in December, which I believe is another way to see heaven on earth. I believe we are expounding the kingdom, and as we take on more and we give God to what's God's, he does the rest. He blesses the rest, and he brings people into the church. Right, and if you need a little more information, I believe Pastor Robert Morris has locked this message down. Right, I believe he has so much good to say, so we're going to play a brief clip about this topic. Check it out.
And then look at verse 11. This is the last scripture we're going to look at. It says, therefore, if you've not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Okay, well, what are true riches? Well, I can tell you, it's real simple. True riches are people. If you looked around this room, and whatever room you're sitting in, whatever campus or church you're attending, listen to me. You look around this room, you're seeing the only thing that's going to last for eternity. not the bodies, the souls. Souls, they're the only things going to last. Let me say it another way. Heaven is being populated and hell is being plundered by our offerings. That's why it's so important for me to give and why I see it as a spiritual act, because when I give, people are getting saved. God is taking what was unrighteous, mammon. I've redeemed it by giving the first to him, and then as I give offerings, he's turning it into true riches. True riches are people. When Ethan, my son-in-law, and Elaine, my daughter, started dating, Ethan came to me and talked to me first, and I set up guidelines, you know, for him. And because I wanted to see if he'd honor me. Here's the reason. If he wouldn't honor me, he wouldn't honor her. That's for some of the young men here. And so I brought him in. We talked. I also showed him my gun collection, by the way. But I gave him some rules to follow and some things, you know. And then after a few months, and he did it. He did everything right. Did everything I told him to do. So after a few months, I gave him the okay to start dating. And so one night there at 7, our young adult group, and they're standing around talking with a group of young adults afterwards, and they were talking about what it would be like to date the pastor's daughter, you know? And it's Ethan and Lane and 7 or 8 other young adults, you know? And it was funny because one of them said to Elaine, you know, your dad is so strict on tithing. I'll bet he checks the tithing records of the guys that want to date you. And Elaine said, he does. And when she said that, Ethan went, uh-oh. And Elaine said, what are you saying? You told me you tithe. You told me you tithe. What are you saying uh-oh for? And Ethan said, well, there was one time I was one day late. And he explained to her, you know, she said, what do you mean? He said, well, I would always do my tithe. I'd get paid on Friday. So at work, I would go online and do my tithe because I didn't have internet at home. Because it costs so much, and he's a real good steward, and so said I didn't have internet at home, so I would always do it at work on Friday when I got paid. But one Friday I didn't have to work that Friday. I had to work Saturday, so I did it on Saturday. But I've always regretted that my tithe wasn't, you know, ever Friday, that it was one day late. And they got to laughing, and they said, "Oh," to Elaine, they said, "Your dad's not going to notice that." And Elaine said, "Yes, he will." So they said, why don't you ask him? Why don't you ask him? So she came home that night. She said, hey, Dad, did you check Ethan's tithing record? I said, yeah, I sure did. She said, well, was everything okay? I said, there was one time he was one day late. And the next time we meet, I'm going to ask him about it. Okay, but why wouldn't I check the tithing record of a young man that wants to date my daughter? Let me say it another way. Why would I give my daughter to a thief? If he can't even handle money, I mean, he definitely can't handle Elaine, because Elaine is a handful. He's not going to be able to handle her if he can't handle dollars and cents. But let me say it another way. She's my only daughter. She's priceless. Why would I give true riches to someone that can't handle unrighteous mammon? Can't even handle money. Well, let me say it another way. Why would the Heavenly Father, who has all power to bless you, why would he bless you when you don't steward what you already have?